Amen. Let's look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I want to share a message entitled Memorial Day Challenge. And certainly I believe the Lord has something special for us this evening as we celebrate our relationship with Christ and as we remember the sacrifices that have been made over the years so that we might be able to have the freedom to be able to stand in church tonight and preach the Word of God uncompromisingly and be able to worship God as we see fit. And we're able to do that because of the many, many sacrifices that have been made throughout our history as a nation. So Memorial Day Challenge, Romans chapter 5, we begin reading in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Let's pray. God, thank you for allowing us this Memorial Day to be able to gather together and rejoice in the goodness of our God and realize, Lord, what great privileges that we have as believers in Christ, and certainly even as a nation, as we struggle with this identity of being a Christian nation. I pray, Lord, that we would be able to extend grace and mercy to others that we've experienced by the grace of God to us word. And Lord, I pray that we might be able to really, this Memorial Day weekend, talk with someone about real life, real freedom that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that someone we might be able to lead to the Lord, and Lord, they might be able to be set free from the bondage of all their sins. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd bless the preaching of the Word of God tonight. We love you. We appreciate your grace. We love you because of the fact that you saved us, Lord, and that you've showed us that you loved us before we ever could even comprehend what it means to love God. And we appreciate that, and we thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text verse is verses 6 through 9. It says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so Memorial Day weekend, we certainly know that it is a time that marks our year each year to remember those who have fallen in battles around the world throughout the time in history so that we might be able to have freedoms that we enjoy in this great country. It is a time of acknowledging sacrifice, and I think sometimes we forget that. It is sacrifice. People act like freedom is just freedom, but the reality is freedom is not experienced without sacrifice. And there's been many sacrifices that have been offered so that we might be able to be a free people. I read this quote, I thought it was a good quote, that said the value of a soldier is not understood in times of peace. And one of the main problems I think we have in America is we pretty are a secure country, pretty much. We don't have countries that's bordering right against us except for Mexico and Canada, and we don't have people shooting rockets over our borders all the time and all this, that, and the other. And we fall into this false assurance that, well, we're free people, we're safe, and we always will be safe, and we always will be free. But the reality is we don't think of the value of the soldier when it's necessary to fight to be able to maintain our freedoms. And certainly that's a great statement. The value of a soldier is not understood in times of peace. And I'm afraid in our false assurance of safety and protection that we have lost our thought process of the value of soldiers. And I know years ago, and after the Vietnam War and people were coming back from Vietnam, the disrespect that was showed to the soldiers and that were coming back, and just a disdain, it seems like, so many people that really don't understand the military or what the sacrifices and efforts that are put forth in through the military to protect our borders are disrespectful to the sacrifices that were offered and made so that we might be a free people. Thomas Campbell, he was a preacher during the Restoration Movement, said this: "The patriot's blood is the seed of freedom's tree." And we don't have freedom if there was not the blood that's going to be shed. And certainly as a Christian, we do not have freedom apart from the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary. And so, yes, the blood that is shed is the seed of the freedom's tree. And so there are many, been thousands and thousands of lives who have died, people who have died to pay the ultimate price that we might be free. And I thought of this challenge nationally. I think we need to remind ourselves that we are the good guys here. Amen. We're not the bad guys. We're the good guys. And I'm telling you, all that's going on in our country, all the division and all the frays and all the aggressive attacks on who we are as a people, it really is getting disgusting to me anyway. I think they need to be reminded that we're the good guys again. And not only that, but we're the good guys because of the fact that we're the ones that offer freedom. You know, everybody complains about America, but why is everybody in the world trying to get here, you know? I mean, if we're really that bad. And the reality is they want to get here because we know what it is for real freedom. We need to promote patriotism again. And our country has turned their back on being patriotic. And I was reading an article about some students out in California, and their school refused to pledge allegiance to the Mexican flag. They were having the students stand up and say the Pledge of Allegiance to the Mexican flag. Well, I'm sorry, this isn't Mexico. This is the United States of America. And you say, well, that certainly is not political correct, and you're offending me. Well, you need to get patriotic, amen? My wife and I were watching a documentary. Winter Memorial Day comes around. I always like to watch old movies, war movies. I like to watch documentaries on different battles and things like that throughout history. And there was a fellow on there they were interviewing who fought in the battle of Iwo Jima, and he had not talked about the battle in Iwo Jima for 60 years. And finally, he opened up, people talked to him, and he was willing to sit there and talk with them about what he experienced. He actually was wounded on Iwo Jima, and it was amazing, the story that he shared. He was a Marine, by the way. Amen. And but he was sharing, and he was talking about patriotism. He was like, now, you got to figure, this is 60 years after Iwo Jima. And he said, you know, people aren't patriotic like they used to be years ago. He said, I think if we saw somebody burn the flag, we would have shot them. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. That ain't going to fit in with America in 2018. And I thought myself, he said, I said, amen. You know, well, we have freedom of speech. We have freedom of expression. Somebody wants to burn the American flag, get out of our country as far as I'm concerned. Amen. You know, that flag represents sacrifice. It represents loss of life so that we could stand and be free people. And it's a shame what goes on. We need to promote patriotism once again. It's all right to say I'm proud to be an American, amen? Sometimes you say that around people and people get all funny and get all nervous about it. We are in the right country. We can say that here, amen? We always answer the call. As a people, nationally, we always answer the call to go and protect those that are in harm's way. And it always costs us money, always costs us time, it always costs us life. but we're always willing to rise to the occasion to be a help to someone else. And so nationally speaking, we need to think about who we are and what freedom means as a people. But spiritually, I thought of this. When we talk about freedoms, we think about a Memorial Day challenge. Spiritually, we ought to remember this, that as a Christian, we are the ones who are theologically correct. You know, there's no room for this ecumenical mindset that we need to embrace and accept all kinds of false doctrine. I've had people over the years say, "Well, you're so arrogant, you just think you're the only one correct." Well, you finally figured it out. I don't believe what I believe because I think I'm wrong. I believe what I believe because I know I'm right. I don't need to think I'm right. I know I'm right. Amen. The heathen has a theology that is incorrect. And it's a theology that does not give liberties and freedom. So I'm not going to back off from what I believe. We, as a Christian, offer eternal life, whereas the heathen's false, corrupt doctrine offers eternal damnation. We need to totally surrender to Christ, and if we totally surrender to Christ, then we understand very clearly that what the heathen teaches and what the doctrinal error that they embrace promotes a complete rejection of Jesus Christ. So that's not fair to say that. Just read their doctrine. Just talk to the person who's not a Christian. Just talk to them about Jesus Christ and try to point them to Christ, and they literally will completely reject who Jesus Christ is. So certainly as a Christian, we understand the freedom that we have. We certainly know as a nation, we understand the freedoms that we have. But there is a challenge that God gives us in reference to this freedom. And here's the Memorial Day challenge that we have out of Romans chapter 5. First of all, there is purifying. In verse 6, it says, "For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." We were ungodly, we were unpure, we were unholy, we were enemies of God, we were rejecters of everything that God is and desires of us. But in that time, in that condition, Christ died for us that he might be able to purify unto himself a holy people. There's the purifying that takes place. Here's a great quote for you. "National purification is achieved through the purifying of the individual." National purification is not going to take place because we get Congress to pass some new law. Because all they do is pass laws that nobody enforces. And so you can't legislate righteousness. But it's for sure when Christ comes into a person's life, he is pure. We receive the righteousness of Christ. And so as the individual is purified, then the nation becomes purified. The reason why America is moving farther and farther away from God is because less and less people are being purified through faith in Jesus Christ. And so we work on an individual basis. You know, it's amazing to me that Jesus preached to the multitudes, but as you read of his life, every person that he brought to himself, he did on a one-on-one basis. I remember years ago, I preached a message entitled "Each One, Reach One." Then I preached another message, and it was called, now I forgot the title. Don't worry about it. Amen. But anyway, but it was all about this one-on-one contact. And Christian, realize this. This is the challenge on Memorial Day weekend, is that as each individual throughout our history have offered themselves and have sacrificed themselves and lost their lives as an individual, there are individuals that we can bring to Jesus Christ, and they can be pure even as Christ is pure if they will trust him. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 3 says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." Notice there is a message to be shared. We talk about this purifying of a nation. We talk about this purifying of individuals. There is a message that has to be shared. Paul said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. It's amazing when you read in Acts chapter 9 and verse 20. I mean, it's only a matter of a few days after the Apostle Paul meets the Lord on the Damascus Road that he is going into the synagogue of the Jews and preaching Christ unto them. You read in Acts chapter 14 and verse 7 and Acts chapter 14 and verse 21. You read that the Apostle Paul says over and again that they preached the gospel. And folks, we have a message that needs to be shared. And it's not a message of politics. It is a message of deliverance that comes through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because Christ, in due time, died for the ungodly, and people need to know there's somebody that died for them.
Yeah.
There was a song, I forget what I heard it when I was on the radio or whatever it was, and the song was singing, and the guy was singing, and he said, "Somebody died for me." All about Christ dying for them. Somebody died for me, and somebody died for you, and it's Jesus Christ. Somebody died so we as a nation and a people can be free. Realize this, somebody died for you that you might be pure and clean before a living God. So there's a message that was shared. There's a sacrifice that is made, because in 1 Corinthians 15 and 3, it says Christ died for our sins. Be it known tonight, the reality is that when Jesus hung on the cross and he gave up the ghost and he died on the cross, he died for my sin. And he died for your sin. And that's the only reason why he died on that cross, is because he took your sin upon himself. And when he took all your sin upon himself, he died and he buried it and he defeated it and he arose victorious over it. There was a sacrifice that was made, hallelujah, that you might be clean and you might be pure. There's a purifying. Our country needs to be purified. And they need to hear that there is a sacrifice. Somebody died for them. And that's Jesus Christ. There's a message shared. There's a sacrifice made. There's scripture that is revealed. Paul goes on to say, Christ died for us, for our sins, I'm sorry. And here it is, according to the scriptures. Christ died according to the scriptures. We're not making up something. We're not trying to live in our own means, but we are living and responding to the purification that takes place because of the word of God. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And I'm glad that Jesus, when he died on the cross, took all of our sins away, and we believe on him. He purifies and cleanses us. But the thing that keeps us clean and walking with God is the precious living word of God. God cleanses us day by day with the preciousness of the word. John 17, 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We don't need to hear what's on the internet. We need to read the word of God. We don't need to go along with the trends that today will be popular and tomorrow will be gone. We need to hold on to the word of God that lives and is alive and is secure and it's true and it's without error and it never ends. It's a living book. It's an eternal book that changes the lives of people. I got saved and I got clean and I got purified because of the word of God being preached. So purifying. Memorial Day challenges, remember that Christ, in due time, he died for the ungodly. He did that to purify us. Number two, there's the identifying in verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet preadventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Identification. Here's another good quote for you. National identification comes about by our connection with or without Christ. You know, people often look at us and they declare us as a nation, and less people are doing that, but we, throughout our history, we've been identified as a Christian nation. We've been identified as a Christian nation because even our founders made statements in reference to the true and living God. Our eternal documents, founding documents in America, state the existence of Christ and the effect of God on us as a people. And so there's other nations that are identified as nations that are not Christian
For instance, Iran. Iran, you wouldn't look at Iran and say Iran's a Christian nation, because their connection is without Christ. The God they worship is apart from Christ. And so they would not be identified as a Christian nation. So national identification is based on the reality of how are we connected or not connected to Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and 14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead." Notice the love that is binding. He says, "The love of Christ constraineth us." The word constraineth there means to glue together. It means to bind us together. The thing that held the disciples together. You talk about a diverse group. You talk about a strange crew to try to put together to be the pillars of the church. Just look at the character of the disciples, their background, political background, their religious background. Look at their social background. You look at everything that the disciples were. What was the thing that held them together? The love of Christ constraineth us. And I think many times we forget that. 1 John 4:10, here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be propitiation for our sins. And so the appeasement of God is based upon the sacrifice of Christ, the love of Christ that is for us. And so there is a love that is binding. I'm going to tell you, our country would be strong. Our country would be one person, one people that is living and abiding and dwelling together if we all believed on Christ and trusted Christ as our Savior. It's the love of Christ that binds us together. All this foolishness going on politically and transgenderism and all this garbage and all this argument politically and everything else, we need to throw it out the door and turn to Jesus Christ and realize that God loves us, even though he says, "I don't care, you're a man. You can't be a woman. You are a woman. You can't be a man." "But I have that right. I want to be that way." No, you can't do that. God designed you. He created you the way that you are because he loves you. That's why. The love of Christ is what binds us together. And if America doesn't experience revival, America isn't turned to Christ, there's not going to be any solidarity in America. It is love, love of Christ that binds us together. Notice the justice that is connected. Because he says, "Because we thus judge that if one died for all." And there is justice that is experienced because of the judgment of Jesus Christ. His words are just. His words are true. In John chapter 5 and verse 22, Jesus tells us, he says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." Then in chapter 12 of John, in verse 48, Jesus goes on a little farther and says this, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Justice will come through a connection with the word of Jesus Christ. There's all kinds of injustices that go on in our country. I know that. I'm not saying we're a perfect people and a perfect nation. There's wrongs that happen every day. But the wrongs that are happening and taking place is because there's decisions that are made apart from the living word of God, from the words of Christ. And he is always just, he's always holy, and he's always correct in dealing with every situation and issue in our lives. So love is binding, justice is connecting, character that is sacrificing. He says, "Then we all are dead." And Paul understood that. He realized that his life was hid in Christ, and everything that he was dependent upon his relationship with Christ. In Galatians 2:20, he says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." You see, when you come to Christ, you're immaterial. You come to Christ, you're not the significant one anymore. When you come to Christ, there is no pride because everything that you are is in reference to Christ. "Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me."
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I love verse 21, the follow-up verse is, I do not frustrate the grace of God. And I think we frustrate the grace of God when we try to live in light of our own desires, our own wants, want to exalt our own emotions, and we're not living in light of the fact that all that we are, everything that we experience, is based on being identified with Jesus Christ and Christ alone. So there's purifying that takes place. There's identifying that takes place. In verse 8, notice there's a committing that takes place. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God made a commitment to us. When Christ died for us, he died for us when we were in our sinful state. Now, national identification, oh, I'm on the wrong verse. There it is. National resolve is cultivated by a true understanding of the character of Christ. And our resolve as a nation and a people has to be based upon the character of Christ. We have to say we're going to defend our land because Christ is our defender. We need to say that we're going to love our enemies. We're not going to do deliberate harm to somebody, but we're going to love our enemies because Christ loved us when we were enemies. And so the committing that we make in our life, the judgments that we make, the decisions that we make as a nation is based upon our understanding of the very character of Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 says, no man that warreth entangle himself with affairs of this life that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And our desire is to identify with and commit ourselves to Christ because Christ's character needs to be seen in us, and he must have the preeminence. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15 says, And that he died for all, that they which should live, not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. See, liberty requires a sacrifice. He died for all. And Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. If Christ has set us free, then let's live in that liberty. Amen. If we're free as a nation and a people as because of the sacrifices that have been made throughout history, let's stay free, amen? Let's embrace our liberty. Let's enjoy what God has blessed us with and be willing to make the sacrifice. What if it was that your nation was to call on you to defend its shores? What would happen? How would you respond if all of a sudden you realize that you're under attack from an enemy, and may we say that we are an attack from an enemy around this world constantly? What's going to be your resolve in maintaining liberty? Christ sacrificed himself so we might be free. Others have sacrificed themselves that they might be free. Stand fast in the liberty. I'll tell you right now, I'm not willing to surrender my liberty. I'm not willing to lay down, roll over, and die and say I'm not going to live in the freedoms that I have here in this great country of the United States of America. And I certainly am not going to surrender myself to the bondage of sin that was destroying my life before Christ set me free. That means there must be a commitment to the Lord. Notice liberty requires sacrifice. Life involves service. That we should not henceforth live unto themselves. Now Jesus said, I'll give you an example that you should do as I have done. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The amazing thing is that life, real life, is being a servant of our God. And as we serve our God, then certainly we're going to serve others also. And we need to be willing to reach out to others. So liberty requires sacrifice. Life involves service, but loyalty begins with a Savior. And so he tells us here in our verse in 2 Corinthians 5:15, but unto him, how are we supposed to live? But unto him who died for us
and rose again. Real loyalty, real experience in life comes through knowing who the Lord Jesus Christ is and committing our ways to Him. There's purifying. We need to be pure even as He is pure. There's identifying. Don't cower away. Don't be ashamed of being a Christian. Don't be ashamed of being a citizen of the United States of America. Don't cower away from that. Identify with who you are because of the freedoms that you experience, because of the sacrifices that are offered. But there's a committing. In other words, there is something you need to do. Every person needs to be involved. Every person needs to be committed. Every person needs to see their way through to be loyal to our Savior and loyal as a citizen of this great country. Well, also, there's the enduring in verse 9. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. Here's a quote to kick us off on this point. National longevity is secured through the eternal blessings of God. If you read anything about democracies, most of the writers will tell you a democracy will continue to exist in freedom until the people of that country realize that they can vote benefits for themselves to get free stuff from the government, and then they'll bankrupt themselves. In a nutshell, it's a summary of what basically they say. And listen, you have to realize this. If we are going to continue down the road for years to come as a nation that is free, we must have the blessings of God upon us. If God is not going to bless, you look at the nation of Israel. When Israel got away from their God, they always fell into bondage. You look at the nation of Israel. Whenever they surrendered themselves to their God, the blessings of God would come flowing upon them and they would be delivered. And so how in the world can we endure to the end, as you will, as a free people and a free nation, if we do not enhance or pursue or long to experience the blessings of God? National longevity is secured through the eternal blessings of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:10 says, "Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him." Notice there's the initiation, who died for us. God is the one who sent His Son in this world to die for us. He's the one that started it. We didn't start anything. You didn't initiate anything towards God. God is the one that provided that. And Ephesians 5:2 says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior." And so the initiation, Christ died for us. There's the obligation. He tells us whether we wake or whether we sleep. And we have an obligation to secure our borders. We have an obligation to secure our land. We have an obligation to protect what we own. We have an obligation to glorify our God. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Our obligation is to be a good people. Our obligation is to be a caring people. Our obligation is to understand that God has been good to us, and He longs and desires for us to be good to others. He wants us to be zealous unto good works. And so with blessings come obligation. But then there's also the association. He said that we should live together with Him. And Romans chapter 14 in verse 8 and 9 says, "For whether we live unto the Lord." I think that's a marvelous principle that every Christian needs to embrace and remind themselves. If we are alive, we are to live unto the Lord. If we as a nation are going to be a Christian nation, we have a responsibility to associate with God, the God of heaven, and God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And certainly he says, "For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be the Lord both of the dead and the living." So our association is with Christ, who died for us, and he is our God, whether we're alive or whether we're dead. As a Christian, the world cannot hurt you. Though as a Christian, the world cannot take your life away from you. As a Christian, your life is hid in Christ, and God is sovereignly in control of your life, and there's no harm that man can do to you. If God be for us, who can stand against us? And we believe that with all our hearts, then when our life comes to the end, it is because God's will is being accomplished, and he's taking us into glory. We associate with the reality of a living Christ who died first, and then he rose again. I like what Billy Graham said years ago. Courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened. And I think sometimes we need to get the wet noodle backbones out of people and start stiffening up ourselves again. I think we need to take a stand on issues. We need to take a stand on scriptures. We need to take a stand on who we are as a Christian. Even the world does not accept it, even though they don't understand it, even though they may be aggressive against it, we are going to endure to the end because we identify with the living God of heaven, and no man can do us any harm. So we need to have courage to stand. Courage to stand. You say, well, I don't know, man. If I stand, maybe I'll be the only one standing. No, I found this. If you'll take a stand, somebody will stand with you. I have found this over the years, many times, what the problem is, people are just looking for someone to lead. That's all they're looking for. They're looking for someone to lead. My wife and I was looking at a documentary on President Reagan. And I believe he did some great things. I believe he was a great president. But I think one of the secrets to his presidency was he just took a stand. And he led. People are not looking for some weak back, noodle back person that doesn't want to stand on anything. I don't want to make a decision because somebody might not like it. We need to take a stand. You might not like a lot of what President Trump is making his decisions on, but I'll tell you one thing right now. He ain't worried about the news media when he makes a decision about something. And whether I like his political positions or not is immaterial. I like his stand. He doesn't back down when he makes a decision. And I'm going to tell you, if America is going to be great again, then it's going to require that we recognize the challenge that is set before us, the sacrifices that have been made so that we can be a free people, and we say we're not going to surrender. We're not going to give up. We're not going to turn away, but we're going to walk in the victory that Christ gives us, and we're going to live in light of the freedoms that we enjoy, and God will be glorified through us. Amen. Amen. What a great challenge out of the Word of God. This Memorial Day, there's many a person that has made the decision over the years to face the enemy, launch out with the challenge, and many bodies are still overseas buried somewhere. But we enjoy freedom and safety here in America. I'm thankful there was a decision that was made when Christ left the glories of heaven and he went into the Garden of Gethsemane and he said, prayed to his father that he might remove this cup from me, but he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That was a decision to face the challenge that was before him. And he followed through and he laid down his life that you and I might be free. Freedom costs something. Freedom costs something. Don't sell it out cheap. Don't give up on it. I believe God has some great things. I believe with all my heart that we can see great revivals in America. I believe that. The church my wife was telling me she just saw on Facebook, the church I grew up in Salem, New Jersey, Baptist Church, they didn't tell me how to be saved, but they taught me the Bible stories when I was a kid. I think, is it today, Joanne? Today is their last Sunday. They're closing the church. That broke my heart. It broke my heart when I heard that. Another church closes down. Now, I believe there's a lot of reasons why they come to a point where they close down, but I'm going to tell you one of the main reasons is there was years ago they gave up in facing the challenge as a Christian church to preach the Word of God and go soul winning and be able to bring people to Christ. They did not face the challenge. And I'm going to tell you, you are not assured that you have freedom as a person, as a citizen of a nation, or as a church ministry if you're not willing to face the challenge. Because you don't enjoy it just by skating along and coasting along. You experience it and enjoy it because you're willing to commit yourself totally to it. What a great Memorial Day challenge. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. Lord, we're alarmed. We can go through all the statistics and see all the models of what's going on in America. Whether it's injustice through the political realm or injustices and abuse through legal realm, or whether it be just the social ills and immoral conduct, whatever it is, we can look at all those things and just come along away with a pessimistic view and attitude about life and about freedom and willing to literally just lay down and give up. God, strengthen us. May we be face the challenge that Paul gives us. When you've done all that you can to stand, stand there for it. God, may we not be satisfied with status quo, but may we be stirred with the reality there are people that need to hear there's somebody who died for them. And God, may we take the good news, may we take the message to a multitude that is hungry, a multitude that is dying, a multitude that is in despair, and may we give them hope. Thank you for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Bless us in this invitation, Lord. May each and every day, may we surrender our life anew and afresh as we walk with the living God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's